The pulpit ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church is pleased to present to you the comforting presence of the Lord Jesus Christ from Acts chapter 23, verse 11. We're coming to you today from our Lawton Avenue Chapel. Well, we come in chapter 23 at a crossroads in Paul's ministry. Paul's enemies were getting their final words in, condemning his ministry, condemning him as a blasphemer, reviling him and insulting him. And we find Paul in chapter 23 in the heart of the Roman barracks. Had it not been for the Romans, Paul would have been torn to pieces, we're told in Acts 23, verse 10. Earlier in chapter 22, the people had become so violent that he had to be rescued out of the hands of the people, or they would have beat him to death at that point in time. So here we come. Paul is in isolation in a Roman barracks. He's all alone. Now, he's not a criminal, so he's not in chains, but he is disruptive as far as the Romans are concerned. He's not guilty of breaking any of the Jewish laws, but he's condemned by the Jewish people. And if we could find him guilty of anything, which we say this tongue in cheek, it would be that his crime was simply that he cared for his fellow Jews. He loved his Jewish brethren. He wanted them to hear this gospel and to receive Christ and be among those who are the redeemed. But they did not warm up to him. They didn't engage with his doctrine. They became enraged by his doctrine. And here we find him all alone. Have you ever found yourself disillusioned, discouraged, or despairing? I know the answer to that. The answer is certainly. Well, then certainly you can relate to the Apostle Paul, and he can relate to you, because this is a common problem for each and every one of us. We suffer with these things. Well, what do you do when this happens? Where is your hope and where is your strength? You and I both know that your strength and help comes from the Lord. When we find Paul all alone, rethinking his ministry, recalling where he had been and what he had done, perhaps he finds himself at the lowest ebb of his ministry, of his life. Well, what was he thinking? He had to be recalling the ministry. Up until this point, he had logged nearly 4,500 miles on his three missionary journeys. He had been called to be a light to the Gentiles, as he had testified, as we saw in chapter 22, as he told the people. He was called to testify about this gospel of God in the person of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And it was this very point, that he would preach the resurrection to the Gentiles, that salvation was found in Christ for them, that the Jewish people became enraged. But his beloved Jewish brethren refused to receive this gospel. And now the weight of their rejection, the weight of their hatred for this gospel message is pressing heavy upon him. He had to think about his own words. He had been told by others, if you remember, in Acts chapter 21, as people had told him, don't go to Jerusalem, please. They pled with him not to go to Jerusalem, but he went. There had been a prophecy by a man named Agabus who had come down from Judea to Caesarea and told him and demonstrated that Paul would be bound and chained in Jerusalem. And he had even remembered, he had to remember his own words from chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, where he said, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what will happen to me there. I only know this, that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. But he said this in verse 24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. And this is the task, he said, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace, be it in Jerusalem or Corinth or Athens or Rome or Spain. Paul was about preaching and testifying to the gospel, the good news of God's grace, but yet we find him in this Roman barracks with a weight laying heavy upon him, with the word failure, no doubt, circulating in his mind. He had to wonder, is this where it all ends? In the night, in the midnight, all alone, dejected and despondent. Even Paul was needy. Paul was prone to discouragement and he needed encouragement. Paul was prone to being dejected and he needed to be assured that all would be well. Now the Lord had appeared to him in the past, apparently at strategic times in his life. After his conversion, and Paul relates this in chapter 22, verse 17, after his conversion, when he left Damascus, he made it back to Jerusalem. And while in Jerusalem, he went to the temple to pray. And while he prayed, he had a vision. And the Lord appeared to him and told him, quick, get up, leave Jerusalem. And Paul tried to talk to the Lord and tried to convince the Lord that he should stay because he had a viable ministry. Surely these people would listen to what Paul had to say. But the Lord told him, you must go, for I have sent you to the Gentiles. You will be a light to them. And indeed, Paul had been a light to the Gentiles. When Paul was in Corinth, the Lord appeared to him while he was in Corinth in chapter 18, verse 9. And here, no doubt, for some reason, known only unto Paul and to the Lord, Paul needed a word of encouragement from the Lord. And you can get an understanding of what must have been going on at the time in Paul's heart and mind when the Lord came to him one night and spoke to him in a vision, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. And it says Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Each time the Lord appeared to Paul was at a strategic time in his life. He was on the brink, I think, of quitting, or the brink of utter despair. And the Lord rescued him at just the right moment with a word of encouragement, with a word of counsel, with a word of warning. But the Lord provided the apt word for the moment and comforted him and gave him strength. And Paul, in chapter 23, is in need again. The Lord comes to Paul. We have to remember, the Lord came to Paul. What kind of a friend would it be if Paul was all alone and left alone? You have to remember, the church in Jerusalem, probably considering it best to protect their own hide in order that they could continue the ministry in Jerusalem, had left Paul all alone. But it's Jesus who comes to Paul. Friends, Jesus is faithful. He's that friend that sticks closer to a brother. He says that he is with us. And he tells Paul again and again. He told the apostles again and again. And he tells us again and again, I am with you. I am with you. Well, he comes at the hour, at the very point when Paul's rope is about to break. And the Lord comes to us at the moment, and not a moment too soon and not a moment too late. He comes right on time, and you may think that your rope has broke or that your rope is about to break, but hold on, for Christ will come at just the right time. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said, he will not let you be tempted. That is, he will not let you be twisted. He won't let you be pulled. He won't let you be stretched or strained or pressured or heated or cooled beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tested beyond the breaking point. Jesus will cause you to stand. He will cause you to bear up. He will cause you to stay. He will cause you to keep on under the testing at hand. It's the Lord Jesus who promised, and we read this in Isaiah 41:10 when he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." Do you have such a friend? Do you have a friend in Jesus? Do you know him today? For if you do, his word is sure. But when he comes, remember this, the Lord comes to us oftentimes when the reality of our pain is in our face. The reality of Paul's pain was in his face at this hour, in the night, in the midnight when the Lord came to him. He had to be in pain, the pain of wondering, where did I go wrong? Perhaps a little self-pity. I can't imagine that, but if he did, then I can relate to it. I came bearing gifts. I came bearing gifts to Jerusalem. I came to relieve the poor. The churches in Macedonia who were more poor than all of the people I've ever known, they gave out of their poverty. I came with the gospel. Why was the ministry ineffective? There was no growth in Jerusalem. No one was won to Christ. No one listened. They reviled Paul. They insulted Paul. They rebuked Paul. They beat Paul. They nearly killed Paul. And in the moment of deepest darkness, it's here at this moment when the Lord Jesus comes to him. How did he appear? What did he look like? What did he sound like? Did he speak softly or did he speak with a loud tone? Well, we ruin the sacred moment with such questions. Suffice it to say that the Lord was there. This is what you and I need to know and need to hold fast to. The Lord was there. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord was there. The Son of Righteousness rose with healing in his wings. The balm of Gilead was being applied to Paul's heart and mind and soul. The light shining in the darkness became clearer. The bright and morning star hung in the sky of Paul's mind, crisp and clean and true and clear. The ever-present help undergirded Paul at that moment. The comforter had come. The conqueror was reigning. The counselor was giving the good word. The mediator stood by Paul. The friend was there to lift him up. In the night, in the midnight, have you such a friend as Jesus? And right now in this Roman camp, the Lord comes and stands by Paul. And we have to ask the question, why now? I can think of a few times in Paul's ministry that I would think surely the Lord would have come at that point. I think in particular of the time when Paul was stoned and they dragged him out of the city like a dog, leaving him to die. And he was surrounded by the brothers in the Lord. And Paul, when he got his wits back about him, he stood up and he went back into the city and he preached. Why was not Christ there at that moment speaking a word of encouragement? Because Paul was not yet on the brink of silence. And I think when we come here in Acts chapter 23, the pressure had become so great, the discouragement was so deep, that Paul was on the brink of silence. And it's when he was on the brink of silence that the Lord was there. Was the Lord sufficient to meet his need? Paul was despised, and he probably felt that this was the worst case of his being rejected by the people he had ever experienced. Would Jesus know about being despised? Paul was rejected. Could Jesus relate to the depth of this kind of rejection? Paul was in deepest sorrow Could Jesus really sympathize? Paul was completely misunderstood. Could Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy One, the one full of grace and truth, wisdom incarnate, could he understand what it means to be misunderstood? Could Jesus relate to Paul's problems? The answer is yes. Yes, can he relate to your problems? The answer is yes. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says it so well. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus had been despised more than any. He had been rejected. The truth was in the midst of the Jewish people and they rejected him. The man of deepest sorrow as he bore the sorrow of every one of his people. Completely misunderstood as he was reviled and hated and crucified. I want to ask you right now as you listen, open your heart to the Lord right now. Yield all your frustrations to him, all your depressions, all your confusions, all the disillusionment that you feel, that you've come to think of, any and all of your discouragement, all of your pain. Open your heart to him now, your sorrow. Let him have your sorrow and even your offense where you've been offended with others in the church or you've been offended with the Lord himself. Bring it. Open your heart even now. And if Jesus cannot sympathize with you in your current situation, your current pain, then no one can. But he knows. Jesus knows the pang of your pain. And as the Lord spoke to Paul in the night, he speaks a sure word to you right now. When the Lord stood by Paul, he opened his mouth and he spoke the word. He said to Paul, take courage. Take courage. The NIV says, take courage. The King James says, be of good cheer. Either way, it requires our turning our eyes to the one who gives courage in faith. And the Lord himself gives it, the grace that we might stand. Imagine the assurance that the words of the Lord, take courage, brought to Paul. I don't think we're reading too much into it to see that this is one part of a three-legged encouragement. Jesus gave the disciples three words of encouragement when he came walking on the water in the storm. We find this in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. When Jesus walked to them, he shouted out, or he spoke loudly, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Courage, I am, fear not. Courage, I am, fear not. When Jesus came to Paul on the Damascus Road, he spoke the first word to him, I am Jesus. He revealed himself to Paul for who he is. I am Jesus, whom you have crucified. Jesus came to Paul in Corinth. Remember, we read this earlier in chapter 18 of Acts. And he told Paul, do not be afraid. And now Jesus comes to Paul here in Jerusalem and he says the words to him, take courage. This is a sure word from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. It's the word he speaks to us today, to you. Courage, I am, fear not. And this is how Jesus comes to you today in your brokenness, in your despair, in your despondency, in your depression, whatever you may be suffering, fear even. He stands before us now through the Spirit and the Word telling us, courage, I am, fear not. Oh, Jesus, please let these simple words you spoke draw us out of our pit of self. Loathing or self-centeredness, our attention to ourselves to turn our attention to you, courage, I am, fear not, that we would trust you. May it be in your precious name we pray. And after Jesus speaks the word, take courage, to Paul, he looks at him and he says to him, confirming his work thus far, he says, you have testified about me in Jerusalem. There is no failure here. Though no one listened and apparently no one was converted, there's no failure in his work in Jerusalem. Jesus is satisfied with Paul's work. You have testified about me in Jerusalem. And he gives a future ministry to Paul. And he tells him, you will testify about me in Rome. Now, Jesus did not promise Paul a trouble-free ministry. He did not promise him that he would never be beaten again, or imprisoned again, or suffer illness, or suffer different kind of hardships. He didn't tell him he wouldn't suffer poverty. He didn't tell him that he would never be left alone. He told him, you will, you must testify about me in Rome. And Paul, to the best of my knowledge of what I read in Acts, he never flinched again. He would be driven onward to Rome. Yes, he was aboard a Roman ship, under guard by a Roman soldier, but he held fast to this word that he must testify about Christ in Rome. He held on to the sure word that Jesus had promised to keep him. And the words, courage, I am, fear not, stuck with Paul for the rest of his life. And if you can receive it, his presence, Jesus' presence through the Word and Spirit brings us courage in our darkest hours. And by faith, if we'll receive his word at just the right time, as G. Campbell Morgan says, our prison becomes a sanctuary. Our dark nights become golden days of sunlight. Friends, our Lord Jesus Christ will come at the moment when we need him the most. He will have an apt word. He'll bring it to your memory. Someone will speak it to you at just the right time. You'll open your Bible and you'll read it, but you have to listen. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus will sustain you. He will embolden you. He will embolden us as we let him speak to us. As in the night, as in the midnight when we're all alone, let him speak through the Word and Spirit. But friends, hold firmly to the Word of God by faith. In Jesus' name.